Rising, all trooped down to the water's edge as the crew hauled the vessel up onto dry land and the hot-blooded hands bore off their gear. Then, in a pack, they went to the meeting grounds, suffering no one else, young or old, to sit among them. Eupeithes' son Antinous rose and harangued them all.
What a blow!
See how the gods have saved this boy from bloody death! And our lookouts all day long, stationed atop the windy heights, kept watch, shift on shift, and once the sun went down, we'd never sleep the night ashore, never, always aboard our swift ship, cruising till dawn, patrolling to catch Telemachus, kill him on the spot, and all the while some spirit whisked him home. So here at home we'll plot his certain death. He must never slip through our hands again, that boy. While he still lives, I swear we'll never bring our venture off. That clever little schemer, he does have his skills, and the crowds no longer show us favour, not at all. So act, before he can gather his people in assembly. He'll never give an inch, I know, he'll rise and rage away, shouting out to them all how we schemed his sudden death, but never caught him. Hearing of our foul play, they'll hardly sing our praises. Why, they might do us damage, run us off our lands, drive us abroad to hunt for strangers' shores. Strike first, I say, and kill him. Clear of town, in the fields, or on the road. Then we'll seize his estates and worldly goods, carve them up between us, share and share alike. But as for his palace, let his mother keep it. She and the man she weds. There's my plan. If you find it offensive, if you want him living on in full command of his patrimony, gather here no more then, living the life of kings, consuming all his wealth. Each from his own house must try to win her, showering her with gifts. Then she can marry the one who offers most, the man marked out by fate to be her husband. That brought them all to a hushed, stunned silence, till Amphinomus rose to have his say among them, the noted son of Nisus, King Areseus' grandson, the chief who led the suitors from Dulichion, land of grass and grains, and the man who pleased Penelope the most, thanks to his timely words and good, clear sense. Concerned for their welfare now, he stood and argued, "Friends, I've no desire to kill Telemachus, not I. It's a terrible thing to shed the blood of kings. Wait. Sound out the will of the gods, that first. If the decrees of mighty Zeus commend the work, I'll kill the prince myself and spare on all the rest. If the gods are against it, then I say, hold back." So Amphinomus urged and won them over. They rose at once, returned to Odysseus's palace, entered and took their seats on burnished chairs. But now an inspiration took the discreet Penelope to face her suitors, brutal, reckless men. The queen had heard it all, how they plotted inside the house to kill her son. The herald Medon told her he'd overheard their schemes, and so, flanked by her ladies, she descended to the hall. That luster of women, once she reached her suitors, drawing her glistening veil across her cheeks, paused now, where a column propped the sturdy roof, and, wheeling on Antinous, cried out against him, "You, Antinous! Violent, vicious, scheming! You, they say, are the best man your age in Ithaca, best for eloquence, counsel, you're nothing of the sort! Madman! Why do you weave destruction for Telemachus? Show no pity to those who need it, those over whom almighty Zeus stands guard! It's wrong! Unholy, yes! Weaving death for those who deserve your mercy. Don't you know how your father fled here once? A fugitive, terrified of the people, up in arms against him, because he'd joined some Taphian pirates, out to attack Thesprotians, sworn allies of ours. The mobs were set to destroy him, rip his life out, devour his vast wealth to their heart's content, but Odysseus held them back. He kept their fury down. And this is the man whose house you waste, scot-free, whose wife you court, whose son you mean to kill. You make my life an agony. Stop, I tell you, stop all this, and make the rest.